The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'd like to start tonight by just seeing if there's any practice questions, questions about your meditation practice or practice in daily life. I just leave a few minutes here at the beginning before I offer a talk to just see. Leave some space at least for some questions. Yeah. We use the mics for the amplification.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Judy. I had a meditation practice for about 5 years, and what continually comes up for me is noise sensitivity. So even in our last session where there's the train and beeping and music and car noise, of trying not to pass the judgment on the noise and just to be able to acknowledge it and let it go and come back to the practice of just back to the breath. I wonder if you could share any insight or advice that you may have to help deal with that.
So first I want to ask, is noise sensitivity something that is happens for you in your life as well? Okay, so there's kind of a, is it painful? Okay, so you actually have very sensitive hearing. Okay, that wasn't painful.
Close to my ears are
okay.
But I am very noise sensitive anyway, but especially when I'm meditating, I have heightened awareness.
Yes. One thing to explore around this is, a lot of that happens if you're very attuned to sound. Like probably what's happening is that your attention keeps being drawn there, and so that makes it hard to stay with the breath. So we might have the idea, in that guided meditation, I was encouraging you to stay with the breath. So that's where, you know, that was kind of the instruction. But we have to use our own discernment, and if something else is predominant or something else is strong, and it's hard to stay with a particular object, sometimes it's helpful to change the meditation object. And in this case, you could play with and see what happens for you if you actually make hearing the object of meditation. If it's not painful for you, I mean, if it's not causing pain in your ears, but if that's where your attention is drawn, allowing that to be your meditation, that's a perfectly valid exploration for meditation. We are, instead of being present in the present moment with the rising and falling of the breathing, we're just present with the ebb and flow of sound. You can, if you can kind of settle back and almost receive it, almost as if you were listening to music, rather than, sometimes with the hearing, we may like be going out and saying, oh, there's the train and there's the car. And if you can kind of settle back, let go of that. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that identification of sound, but just let that be in the background and see if you can just kind of receive the sound, just the kind of the wave, like that, the sound of the car comes almost as a wave. It starts in the distance, it amplifies, and then it goes off in the distance. So it's kind of a wave. And a lot of the sounds have that wave-like quality. Some sounds are more sudden. Somebody opens the door and boom, it's kind of startling. So just kind of seeing if you can allow the sound to be the meditation, so that there's not the contentious relationship with trying to avoid being with the sound. So that's, you could play with that and see what happens. I sometimes do hearing meditation. If there's a lot of sound happening, it's a great way to practice. If you find that the sound is actually painful, then, you know, seeing if you can find something that allows you to kind of let that be in the background. If it's really painful, you know, you could put something in your ears and and stop it up. But it doesn't sound like that's what's happening. It more sounds like that the tension is being pulled there over and over, and the idea being, oh, I should be with the breath, so this is a problem. So if instead it's like, well, let's let the sound be the meditation, maybe the mind can relax around that and just explore that. Mm-hmm. Any other? Okay.
I attended your retreat last week, the mindfulness daily practice, and you spoke a little bit about the container of the retreat. I've had such a hard time getting back to my practice at home. I miss the retreat. I was wondering if you had any advice about that.
Okay, so last week I offered a retreat where we met pretty much, we met every morning, every evening during the week, and we had a day, a half day on Sunday, a day long on Saturday, and so we met and we explored working in practicing in daily life, and that creates a kind of a container in which it's really easy for the daily life practice to unfold and be. It's much easier to be aware for when we have that kind of constant reminder coming back morning, every evening, every morning, every evening. So the first piece is to be compassionate about for yourself about the fact that it is harder. It is completely natural that it's harder this week without that structure, without that container. So are you having trouble with the sitting, doing the sitting, or is it more the daily life activities?
Well, the daily life is kind of waning, as mm-hmm. you said it would.
Yes.
So today, I don't think I was aware at all, but I did remember I wasn't aware.
Uh-huh.
So that's good.
How many times through the day did you remember you weren't aware?
Just once.
Okay.
Just once. But once is better than none.
It is.
None. And it was really, it was extraordinary for me because now I understand why the daily practice is so important. You know, something really connected.
Last week it connected?
It yeah. connected on mm-hmm. the very last day, which was just wonderful for me. No, what's happening is I usually sit every morning at home, and I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have time to come here every day. And I do really want to continue my daily practice at home. I know how beneficial it is, but I'm not drawn to do it.
So right now. We don't, so I don't know if the mic is on or not. Was it on?
Yeah, it's on.
It's on, okay. So I'll just repeat just in case you didn't hear. The question was that she's done this daily life practice retreat last week, and this week she's having trouble connecting with her practice again, and in particular the sitting in the morning. She doesn't even want to do that. So one of the best things that I know for that kind of space is just to remind myself I don't have to want to do something in order to do it. So just put your body there. Maybe even, you know, you don't have to say, I'm going to sit for half an hour or however long you normally sit for at home, but put your body into the posture. Sometimes that's the hardest point, is getting over that not wanting to do it and getting into the posture. So just, if all you commit to is getting into the meditation posture in the morning and then see what happens, that might be a place to begin. And you could you know, just sit down, get to that posture, and you might actually find, oh, it's actually okay to be here now. You know, so just you could play with that. You could also say, okay, I'm going to commit to sitting, say, 5 minutes in the morning, and then just see how long you sit for. So I would play with that, not having to convince yourself you want to sit in order to sit. I mean, we sometimes think, oh, you know, if I'm going to do something, I have to want to do it. We don't. I've used that so many times in my life. It's like trying, you know, if I don't want to do something, I find myself resistant to convincing myself to want to do it. And then I remember, oh, I don't have to convince myself. I just have to do it. So that's a fun, it's a little trick.
Okay.
You can try that.
Thank you.
So what I'd like to explore today,